Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour black hole block party. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Houston to Harrisburg, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Well, thanks so much for joining us on this fine Monday morning, everybody. Big show coming up for you this morning. Big show. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Lot to get to over the weekend that was in sports. Yes, there was a weekend and it involved sports. Coming up this morning here on the show, NFLPA getting after the NFL's owners. What's the plan, 32 NFL owners? What's the regulations? What's the safety? Has the NFL, with the benefit, with the gift of months of preparation, botched the whole thing? We'll talk about that coming up 1 hour from now. Also, as Major League Baseball returns, the Blue Jays will not. They are not going to be allowed to play in Canada. And so where will the Blue Jays take roost? Also coming up this morning on the show, the Oakland Raiders have turned into the Las Vegas Raiders, but their owner says he won't be attending any games this year. Also, Freddie Freeman details his scary battle with coronavirus, and the Celtics may be without their star player at 100%. What does that mean? Coming up for the return of the reboot of one of the East's best players. All of that coming up on the show. Also, Major League Fishing. Our friends at MILF, MLF, have wrapped up their fishing season. So, one final spot, one final interview with an angler du jour. It's been so fun to talk to these guys that have competed on the Major League Fishing Tour. Justin Lucas is going to drop on by the show coming up in hour number three. All of that coming up this morning on the program. And so we begin with, yes, that weekend in sports. Little by little, we're getting it coming back. Little by little, the trickle, the drop of water. We have MLS back. We've had real live soccer games being played here stateside. Of course, we've had the PGA Tour, and we've had NASCAR for months now. Basketball players returning to action. hockey getting ready to do the same thing. And this weekend, there were actual baseball games being played. Baseball games in baseball ballparks. Across America, we saw our Major League Baseball stadiums hosting real baseball games. And that was a thrill. That was fun. Even though there's no fans in attendance, even though the games didn't matter, we saw the stars, the best in the world, suit up, throw on jerseys, throw on hats, grab a bat, grab a mitt, and play a competitive baseball game. It wasn't all normal, obviously. As I mentioned, no fans allowed inside the stadium. These were exhibition games, spring training, some are calling it summer camp, but it was a game, it was in the ballparks, and it looked like regular baseball. And sometimes that's enough. I think the overwhelming response across America was, wow, it's just good to have baseball back. And part of this is a little disappointing, only from the standpoint that baseball doesn't really deserve to have the benefit of goodwill. They don't get the benefit of doing things the right way, the quick way. Let's face it, they dragged their feet. They battled one another. They came off as unbelievably tone deaf over the course of their negotiations. But at the end of the day this weekend, most people just felt good to have games being played again. The big thing, as I mentioned, no fans. Now, certain teams did certain things. Some did nothing behind home plate. Others put cardboard cutouts of some of their fans behind home plate. And some will put cardboard cutouts of the fans in the outfield or other places where the camera might pick them up. And we also had simulated crowd noise piped into the stadiums, not just the broadcasts. You see, in soccer, we've had some simulated fan reaction, but they've been piped into the broadcast, so the players didn't hear that. In baseball, the players did. Baseball was back, but without fans. Did baseball work without anybody in attendance? It is where we begin, your cold open.
There is the 1-1. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. A Stantonian home run. Oh, did he lose that to deep left? Wow, what a long home run. I hope we get the distance on that. Giancarlo, no si può stopparlo.
I thought by and large, it went really well. And it was easy for us to kind of go through our routine and get our work in. And it was a lot of fun to compete against somebody else. And it felt that way in the dugout.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park
Grundy. It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Hey, the sound of summer includes John Sterling at 900 years old on the Yankees radio network. A Stantonian blast. Here's the thing. It's never going to be perfect without fans. What we're learning is that we actually have a big role in making sports what sports are. The stars are great, the games are great, but without us in attendance, it falls a little flat. And that's nice. It's empowering. It feels good that we matter like that. It's never going to be complete. It's never going to be perfect. But this weekend, yeah, it's fine. And we said this dating back to NASCAR without fans. We talked about this at length when the Bundesliga came back and experimented with piping in crowd noise. We've talked about it with MLS being back. Look, it's fine. It's just fine. You know, for the most part, all we're looking for is the diversion. And that's enough. And this weekend, to flip on TV or to flip on your radio and to have a live game instead of yet another classic, instead of yet another game where you knew the outcome, instead of yet another game from 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, it was just good to have a live baseball game being played. I didn't love the cardboard cutouts, and I think it's because when I saw them, they seemed a little cartoonish. It didn't seem like how fans would be sitting behind home plate. They looked oversized, bigger than a normal fan would be. They looked very cartoonish. And to me, if you're going to do it, at least make it seem just like I'm watching a normal baseball game. Make it look normal. So don't have a scattering of a few fans behind home plate. It should be all of the fans. Don't make them oversized. Make them regular sized. Don't make them looking really creepy or like they have crazy looks on their face. Just make them look normal so I'm not distracted by the fact that you have fake fans behind home plate. It should just let me believe for a moment it is normal. I thought the crowd noise pumped in was fine. You know, that's been one thing that's been a really nice antidote to not having fans in the stands, is that when these broadcasts or these stadiums have pumped in artificial crowd noise, they haven't overdone it. It was fine. It didn't sound like Game 7 of the World Series, which it should not have. It should have sounded like an exhibition game that didn't matter, and it did. So I thought this weekend Major League Baseball took a step forward. We got games played, it put people at ease, and it sounded fine. Did it look great? It didn't look great, but it looked fine. And like I've said about MLS playing at practice facilities, I think baseball will benefit from being played in home stadiums. When Stanton hits a home run, or when Aaron Judge hits a home run, or when the Nationals were playing, or the Red Sox were playing, or the Cubs were playing against the White Sox, what we saw this weekend, when you flipped it on, you saw a familiar ballpark. It is so much better than playing at the spring training facilities. So much better. Remember, that was going to be part of the solution, playing in either Arizona or Florida. It is so much better to see these home stadiums. At least it gives a little vision, a little nugget of normalcy. But hey, the games being back, it was fine. It was fine. And right now, being fine is huge. Hit me up on the phones, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Your thoughts on the return of baseball this week and how it looked, how it felt. Or hit me up on Twitter. Follow me and tweet at me there. DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Mraz, what were your overall thoughts of seeing the return of baseball this weekend?
I thought it worked fantastic, I would say. The cardboard cutouts, I agree with you, a little weird, and I think maybe the problem is some of them are way too big where you're getting full body and only the shape of a head, but that's something you have to work on. I think that baseball is absolutely nailing in all the games. I caught the game sound. We talked about that in European soccer, the idea that a guy could hit a home run with a low humming crowd noise and you hear the crowd gradually get louder into the roar when a home run is hit, I think is so well done. And really what you realize is you noticeably notice the fans behind the plate and when a ball is hit deep to the outfield. And when the ball is hit deep to the outfield, frankly, I've watched enough baseball games in bad teams and bad stadiums where there's not a lot of seats filled in the outfield anyway. So it's just getting used to what's behind the plate. But the game looked like the game. It felt like baseball. It felt like summer. I mean, D.A., me and Danielle went out to dinner on Saturday early, about 5:36. And the people working, you know, the restaurant with the TVs, they, all of a sudden it was like 6:30 and you heard this, oh, there's a game on tonight. There's a baseball game on tonight. And they were scrambling to remember what channel to find a Yankee Met game on. And it was like you could tell that excitement and anticipation, even for exhibition baseball, is there. And I for one, loved it. I'm jacked up. Get me to Thursday and Friday. And it's just, it's a slight sense, even if it's not normal, of again trying to get back to normalcy, and baseball in the summer represents that. I felt that a bit this weekend, and I'm ready for more this week.
Pretty crazy. By the end of the week, we will have real games. One of the 60, two of the 60 games that actually matter towards the regular season standings. Everybody playing, managers using starters, having to go to the bullpen, and those new funky rules. All of this is now in play by the end of the week. So we have made it. We have made it out of the desert of no baseball, and getting back to having some sporting events is absolutely nice. Now, when we come back, we start the conversation about the NFL and what it would take for to get the NFL back, and a creative and unique solution, perhaps, to making the NFL safer. We'll do that as part of Soundcheck. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Glad you're with us on a fine Monday morning. Remember, you can stream us on your phone using the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. We begin with our colleague, Brandon Tierney, BT, right here on CBS Sports Radio, who has a unique idea for the NFL to mitigate their COVID-19 risk.
I really don't know why the NFL wouldn't come up with a model that the XFL had. The XFL had eight teams, and they had a ninth unaffiliated team, all right? And they had guys that were practicing, that were staying sharp, you know, that were ready in case, and guys got called. You know, the last thing the NFL wants is to have, you know, whether it's week one or whether it's week four, and suddenly, you know, have 37 league-wide COVID tests, and, you know, it really, and maybe a team gets hit harder than others. Maybe it's like five players on a team. At least you can't sign five guys off the street expecting to be in any decent shape.
No, or be any good.
Or be any good. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's even worse. And so you're not as talented and you're not in shape. That's definitely not NFL standard. So why not just put the parameters together now and plan on having a 33rd team with no affiliation, pay him taxi squad money, whatever it equates to, and just have, you know, 15 guys on offense, couple of skill guys, couple of offensive linemen, quarterback or two, and a kicker, a punter. Just have a few guys ready working out.
I think that's a good idea. I think it's a really good idea by BT. One thing that the NFL has not done well here is use the head start that they got by not having to play all offseason and figure this thing out in the middle of their season. They have not done well with utilizing and maximizing that head start. And we'll talk about this coming up here later on in the show, but this is one of those ideas that they should have had implemented months ago. Okay, if we're going to have a season in the middle of COVID and we have an outbreak on a team or between a couple of teams or in a league, instead of having these teams shut down or scramble the week of or a couple of days before to try to get players signed off the street, as BT said, have an unaffiliated team so at least guys are in shape and they're playing games that you can pluck these free agents from if you need to flesh out your roster. I like that idea a lot by BT. Here is Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Of course, the Lakers are one of the best teams in the NBA, and upon the restart have some of the best odds at winning the NBA championship. And one of the reasons is because LeBron has been so good this season. Vogel believes his star should be the MVP over Giannis.
What LeBron means to our team, even before the season begins, when the roster is being put together, with the number of guys that are on the Lakers because LeBron James is here and want to play with him. Nobody impacts winning more than LeBron James. I do believe that he should be the MVP this year. I believe he should be the MVP, and I believe Anthony Davis should be the Defensive Player of the Year. I hope those awards go to our two players.
Now, those compliments that Vogel's putting out there are for his guys, and that's understandable. That is textbook. Your coach is going to go to bat for his guys. And look, those guys would be deserving of those two honors. Nobody would say, oh my God, that's crazy to say LeBron's the MVP and AD the Defensive Player of the Year. But back to LeBron as the MVP. It really is insane that LeBron does not have more MVP awards. And this goes back to the Michael Jordan corollary, where really Michael should have been the MVP a minimum of, what, 7 or 8 times? Because in at least 7 or 8 of his seasons, he was the most valuable player in the NBA. If you took Michael Jordan off of the Bulls, the Bulls would be completely different, as we saw what they did in 1994. And then what they were before he came back in 1995. Without Michael Jordan, every year he proved that he was the most valuable player in the NBA. And for LeBron, when you look at it, he's won 4 of these awards. 09, 10, 12, and 13. It is absolute insanity that LeBron has not been named MVP in 7 years. I mean, does that sound right at all? That for the last 7 seasons, somebody has been more valuable than LeBron James to his team's success? I mean, of course not. But what ends up happening with the MVP voting is that you vote for things that are fresh. You vote for guys that are new. You vote with this kind of feeling like, oh, LeBron's already won his MVPs. And LeBron doesn't need more MVPs, because once you have 3 or once you have 4, once you have 5, why do you need any more? But if you really were going down the list and saying, well, who's the most valuable player? I mean, look at this. LeBron wins it in 09, 10, 12, and 13. In between, Derrick Rose wins it. And then after LeBron, since 13, KD won it. Steph Curry won it twice. Russell Westbrook won it. James Harden won it. And then Giannis last year. And Giannis will likely win it again this year. I'm sorry. Those guys are great. Those guys are all-stars. Those guys will all be in the Hall of Fame one day, more than likely. But you can't convince me that any of those guys are more valuable to their teams winning than LeBron is or has been to his teams winning, and how much his team has won. And finally, here is Jeff Van Gundy from SiriusXM NBA Radio, who discussed the anonymous snitch line set up for NBA players to tattle on their peers when they see them doing something irresponsible outside the bubble.
The one thing that's a little off-putting for me is the snitch line, especially for minor violations. Why don't we just go up to, like, if somebody's not wearing a mask, why don't we just go up to him, like the player himself, instead of getting on his cell phone, calling someone to try to track the person down to tell him to put on his mask? Why don't you just go up and say, keep me safe, keep yourself safe? Why do we have to go through a process? Now, if there's a bigger issue, like, you know, guys sneaking off of campus and tunneling their way back under fences and not being detected by the security, I guess you'd need a process, you know, to do that. But I don't like the idea of just minor infractions. You hop on the phone. What happened to man-to-man communication?
All right, that is your sound check this morning on the show. Yeah, I mean, look, Jeff Van Gundy's theory works in a vacuum. Man-to-man communication, hey, stop putting us at risk. But how awkward are those conversations anyway? I mean, right now the nation's at war against one another over this. And now you're going to ask everybody to be on the up and up and mature enough to have man-to-man conversations about wearing a mask. I don't even really think that's what this is about, honestly. This is about guys leaving the campus, leaving the bubble, or having people come into the bubble. I mean, let's just call it as it is. There's a big risk here of players getting chicks from outside the bubble to their hotel rooms. Let's face it. A lot of these guys are single. A lot of these guys don't have their wives with them. Some of these guys are married, and some of these guys have families, and those families can be invited inside the bubble. But the NBA's not all married, guys. The NBA's a lot of single 20-somethings. And you're not just going to have your girlfriend or the chick you hook up with happen to be inside the bubble for 3 months. And so that is the type of risk that I think the hotline is all about. I mean, people don't want to talk about this, but yes, you shouldn't leave the campus for DoorDash. You shouldn't leave the campus for Uber Eats, okay? You shouldn't be leaving to go outside, to go get food, or to do whatever you want to do to socialize. But how much of this is trying to prevent players from bringing in outside people that aren't tested, that haven't been quarantined, that could pose a health risk? I mean, you've got chicks on Instagram talking about, yeah, I've already gotten my invite. And they're just NBA groupies. How much of the hotline is about that? I don't really know how much of this is about, hey, this guy's not wearing a mask around. I think most of it is these people are leaving and coming back. And you'd love the idea that security just handles this all, but if security can't catch everything, and the only way that the NBA can play a season is if primarily all of your guys stay healthy, you know, one groupie or one DoorDash guy could blow that whole thing up. It's not the best solution. You'd love everybody to be on their honor system and just not need that, but that's also not the way of the world, unfortunately, and there's so much riding on this. One outbreak could devastate the rest of the season. Standing by with our headline this morning is our dessert coordinator. What better thing to start your morning with than thoughts of cupcakes and jelly beans? Brad Heller has our headline this morning. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, DA. What's going on? This report sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. NFL training camps are set to open today for Chiefs and Texans rookies, tomorrow for all other rookies. And the Players Association is still concerned about the health and safety protocols. Several big names, from Patrick Mahomes to Russell Wilson to Drew Brees, tweeted those concerns yesterday, all with the same hashtag, "We want to play." Brees wrote, "If the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there was no football in 2020. It's that simple. Get it done." NFL Network says the union still has to approve each team's COVID-19 response plans before more than 20 players can be allowed in a team facility. The Toronto Blue Jays are homeless right now after Canada barred the team from playing its home games in Toronto. Here's manager Charlie Montoyo.
I'm grateful that we were here for these 2 weeks, because as you can see, other teams are having problems. But so I'm glad that going into the season, we're healthy. So that's just the best, you know, scenario for us going into a season. Where we're going to play, hopefully we'll find out soon.
Yeah, they have to find out soon. The first home game for the Jays is July 29th against the Nationals. It's kind of soon.
They've got like 5 days to figure out where they're going to play their baseball games.
They got to pack up all the equipment. Players got to get their stuff together. So yeah, it's coming up pretty soon. Buffalo and the spring training facility in Florida have been considered. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette says PNC Park is a possibility for at least some games.
Wow.
The Pirates and the Blue Jays are both scheduled for home games on the same day, only 7 times, so not a ton of overlap. Jays pitcher Anthony Bass said the player's preference is a Major League ballpark. Real live exhibition baseball yesterday. I mean, got to give just a little bit of stats here. Aaron Judge had 2 home runs. The Yankees had 5 as they beat the Mets 6-0 in the Bronx. Cody Bellinger, a grand slam. He had 5 RBIs. The Dodgers blew out the Diamondbacks 9-2. Golf, John Rahm shot a 3-over-75, but at 9-under, he still hangs on to win the Memorial by 3 shots over Ryan Palmer. And the win also gives Rahm the #1 ranking in the world.
It's incredible to be a Spaniard, the second Spaniard to ever do it. There's not that many Europeans that have gotten to this spot. It's a pretty unique feeling, so I'm going to enjoy it for a while.
And Seve Ballesteros, the only other Spaniard to reach #1. Tiger Woods shot a 76. He finished 6 over, tied for 40th. D.A.
Thank you, Brad. Great job. We'll talk to you next hour. I like John Rahm saying we're going to enjoy this for a while. It's so much more refreshing than the damn Patriots. Back to work. Don't miss any days of work. No days off. I always hated no days off. Guys, you just march through the season. It's a long and grueling affair. It takes players, it is exhausting, it takes all types of duress and pressure and stress. You've accomplished it, now enjoy it. I would have loved to hear at least one of the Patriots say we're going to enjoy this for a while. Instead, it's no days off for practicing tomorrow. Like, guys, this is why you won, to enjoy it. If we all just worked incessantly and tried to climb some ladder, whether it's career or this type of project or whatever, and that the moment that you accomplish what you wanted to accomplish, you immediately set out for the next endeavor, what is that? What type of life is that? I like hearing John Rahm say, I'm going to enjoy this for a while. You should. You accomplish something. Why the hell accomplish anything if you can't actually enjoy it?
Hold on, DA. I do have to let the audience peel back the curtain just a second. Mm-hmm. We've had a nice thread, all of us on the show, trying not as much as possible to overlap days off because we want the show to sound like the show. If you're out, me and Bogus got to be here. If I'm out, Bogus and you got to be, you know, the whole thing goes on. There was a point in time where me and Bogus gave you our weeks off here, and you said, wow, you guys are taking full weeks off. And now you're sitting here telling John Rahm, I appreciate it. Take some days off. Which way is it?
One thing that I have always told you, all of you guys, since this started, was take days off if you feel like you need to take days off.
Fair.
I have encouraged everybody, mental wellness days, health days, family days, take it off. You should enjoy the spoils of what you have worked so hard for. Now, might there be moments in there, Mraz, where sometimes it feels like you take that to the extreme? Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. But okay. John Rahm has dedicated his life to playing golf. He finally wins this tournament. He finally raises to number one in the world. Yeah, enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. Why not?
It also should just be noted, and I don't know if you felt this way at all, I just heard Brad give a post-game bite from John Rahm from the Memorial, give baseball stats. That, for the first time, felt like a real sports summer update during the pandemic. Like, that is the kind of update we would have heard not during pandemic. That was refreshing, DA, refreshing. A golf winner, your baseball stats, Cody Bellinger hitting a grand slam. That is what we are here for. I loved it.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. Just hearing Brad Heller utter the words, Aaron Judge with two home runs, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, there was baseball. Okay, there are stats. Okay, right. This is actually a thing that is happening.
Aaron Judge.
It's time to ask the pros today as well, where you get to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We'll answer it coming up in hour number four. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. I'll be listening later on in the show. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. One criticism that I've heard quite a bit the last couple of weeks is that the sports media is too negative, that perhaps the sports media is actually rooting against the return of sports. Is that a thing? We'll discuss coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
So why not just give them nothing then?
$5,000 nothing to you? What was your last contract? A million and a half now? $5,000 is a lot of money.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
$5,000 of money.
$5,000 is a lot of money.
Mraz doing his best Mickey Mouse. Doing more. Sponsored by the Home Depot. Everything that you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. The Home Depot is here to help, but they've got many ways to do it. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. How about Aaron Judge blasting two home runs to the Yankees' 6-0 exhibition shutout win over the Mets yesterday. The Bombers hitting five home runs to that game, taking the weekend home-and-home series after one more exhibition game. Today against the Phillies, Judge and the Yankees are off to Washington for the season opener. Thursday against the world champion Washington Nationals. Yes, baseball's opening day is this week. Yanks and Nats on Thursday. Hurrah. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com. And a little reminder that the DA Show is available on your smart speakers. So wake up in the morning, get your day started with us. simply tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio and have us on around the house as you get your day going every single morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. So I saw this, Mraz, on your Twitter feed, and it's something that I'd like to address because I've heard other people say it as well. Dante Stallworth, former NFL wide receiver, had tweeted, "I want football back just as much as the next human, but I'm truly amazed at the amount of people who completely ignore the science and the current U.S. trends that genuinely believe there will be much football, college or pro, this season." Now, Mraz, you subtweeted him and said, "The pandemic is tragic. However, the doom and gloom portion of the media is really getting out of hand." And I found this interesting because Dante Stallworth is a former player himself. He is not roped into the normal ketchup-stained sports writer who is cynical and pessimistic and has worked at the same job for 25 years, and they've limited the newspaper staff to just that guy and like one other editor, and he has seen his industry or his career go by the wayside and lived his life in press boxes and on the road and away from his wife and eating garbage press box food. You know, there's a lot of cynicism around the sports media because right. You get into the job because it's what you think is this wonderful outlet as a child to cover sports. And then you get there and it's a business and it's a grind and you're not paid a lot of money and you become cynical. But Dante Stallworth is the opposite. He's a former athlete. He's got plenty of money. And so I found this interesting that you roped him into the normal media doom and gloom. So I'd like to ask you what about Dante Stallworth does that to you?
Well, so I see plenty of Dante Stallworth making appearances on Fox, on FS1, and I really don't think I'm being a jerk when I say this. I view our colleague Tiki Barber now as a member of the media. He's been out of the league for quite some time. He does a radio show with us every day. I view my former colleague, our former colleague Bart Scott, the same way. Yes, they offer a different perspective as players, but when you've been out of the game a long time and you get into TV and radio and media and you use your Twitter as an outlet, I am going to view you as sports media. I'm gonna look at you as one of us. I'm not gonna look at you as solely a player. So that is how I view Dante Stallworth when talking that way. Now he does offer a different perspective. There's no doubt about it. But I don't view him as a player. I view him as sports media because that is how he has been presented, at least in front of my eyes, for the last 5 to 7 years.
Okay, that's fair. Now, here's the part of Dante Stallworth's tweet that I think is fair. I think if you really wanted to rip it apart, he says he's amazed at the amount of people who completely ignore the science and the current U.S. trends. And okay. Here is, in his defense, I think that there are a lot of people that just simply want sports back for all the reasons that we just listed out in the opening of the segment with the baseball coming back. We want sports back so badly that I think a lot of people are willing to kind of separate sure. sports from real life. And if your restaurants can't open or you're being asked to wear masks or you're asked to do a lot of things that maybe you haven't ever been done before, you might look at sports as that's not part of real life. They just get to play sports. And in some ways, I can understand that because, like, let's just take Florida, for example. There might not be a worse place to be in America right now in terms of catching coronavirus than Florida. And yet, right. MLS is just playing its games. I mean, yes, we've had some positive tests. Two teams have had to go home. But by and large, just teams are playing games, quote, as normal. So I wonder if maybe that's what Dante Stallworth is seeing. Fans that are just banging the drum like, let's get back to sports because fans might just feel like it's not real life anyway in these little bubbles.
So I agree with that wholeheartedly. My counterpoint to that would be during the height of the pandemic. Now, if you want to call right now what's going on in Florida, the height of the pandemic, I look at what was going on in New York, New Jersey, when the country began to shut down March, April, May. All I know is this. When it came to the NFL, I saw Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott basically having parties and being accused of it. I saw Lamar Jackson throwing passes to Antonio Brown, somebody he doesn't live in a house with. I saw Daniel Jones calling other Giants down to North Carolina to have workouts. I mean, the list goes on and on. Cam Newton working out with Odell Beckham Jr. everywhere you turned. Tom Brady, the face of the NFL, basically thumbing his nose at the idea of the pandemic. So All I know is this. I think, obviously, the pandemic is serious, and I think we should take care of the NFL players. But I don't know, DA. All I saw for the last 4 months, while many of us were taking this very seriously, and we want to talk about people not taking it seriously now, were stars of the NFL not following the same rules we were abiding by and staying home. So, you know, for all those people who want to see football, well, how are we not supposed to expect to see football when for 4 months when we were all home, working from home, doing everything, all we saw were NFL players out and about, working out, having parties, and thumbing their nose at the pandemic. So what, I'm going to feel sorry now?
Totally fair point. Absolutely, totally fair point. The NFL has led us to believe that they're going to play football no matter what. They have led us every step of the way, whether it was the draft, whether it was free agency, whether it was keeping the schedule, what it was, releasing the schedule, it was business as usual. And you're absolutely right. The NFL has led us down a path to believe football will be played. And so why wouldn't fans expect it? On whether the media is too negative, here's what I sense. Now, I think for our show, we're all crossing our fingers. We're cautiously optimistic. I think all of us really can't wait for football to be back. Most of us, football's our favorite sport. It's certainly mine, both pro and college. And I can't wait to watch either one of them. I hope I get to watch both. I don't know if we'll get to watch college because there's so many moving parts involved. Right. I think we'll be able to watch the NFL. I think we will get an NFL season. I think what ends up happening, though, is that caution that I'm talking about. I think a lot of sports media members feel like they have been propped up and getting, are being ready to get let down. And the reason is that our industry is so dependent on the games being played. And because the pandemic has happened and they haven't played games, it's wiped out a lot of jobs. I mean, we've seen TV networks, radio networks, newspapers, online editions. Everybody has cleaned jobs out. And I wonder if a lot of these sports media that you hear being negative are almost bracing themselves for, if the game's not played, how many more jobs are lost? Now, does Dante Stallworth get fired? He might not be part of that. But I'm just talking about kind of the reporters that I mentioned before, these kind of lifers that are in sports journalism, these writers that are on Twitter. Don't you feel like some of them are just worried that we're not going to get sports and that might be the end of their jobs?
I do think that's definitely part of it. I also think there's a weird Twitter element to this where I think the very unpopular thing for even as a society is to be positive about this right now, because there's is a lot of real stuff that is going on here. People have died. People are still dying. People are on ventilators, ICU units. We know the stories. They're horrible. And I think if you come across as somebody in media that is, you know, full steam ahead, positive, you are going to get more backlash than if you're negative. And I do think there's probably that element of people who, I don't want to say they're not saying how they truly believe, but maybe just it's just you throw up your hands and it's easier just to get bogged down in that negative idea, because you're going to get much less backlash during a pandemic if you are being negative, because that's where the trend is for everybody to be.
That's true. And I would say what would be an interesting experiment is to take the temperature of people on Twitter about whether they're optimistic, pessimistic, or what have you, and then watch any of the televised sports networks. I'm not talking about cable news. That's its own kind of world. But if you watched NFL Network or watched ESPN or watched CBS Sports Network, my guess is it will be a totally different vibe. I think there are people on sports television that are being cautiously optimistic like we are, wanting it to come back, acting like it's going to come back, but no, it's possible that it won't. And then you flip on Twitter and it's the opposite. People are expecting it not to come back and they're open about that. I think you're right. You hit on something. Twitter's currency is negativity, and it's that about everything. You are supposed to be negative about everything. People that are positive just kind of get shouted down by everybody that's so negative all the time, which is why, I don't know about you, Twitter's a real bummer. I mean, it's just terrible. Like every day,
it just, it makes me so sad and frustrated. It's like, oh man, I got to put the phone down. I go on, I see something, it makes me angry, and I put the phone down, and that's it.
I know.
Even if people are right, it's just so bummer.
Because, I mean, we've used this as our jobs, a lifeline to stories and news for so long, and so I'm ready to use that to see what's going on, and then without games or without regular life, everybody's just such a downer that I'm like, okay, all right, I'm about good with this right now. When we come back here on the DA Show, The NFL has a battle on its hands. Has it already dropped the ball? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.